My name is Cindy Levy. Hi. My presentation is Strengthening Hospital and School Partnerships to Meet Obesity Prevention Goals. So the first thing I want to say, and I was going to use a happier presentation template, apples, happy apples, we do education and prevention in kids. But the truth is, I went with the Cedars-Sinai stodgy template because partially the reason is because hospitals are kind of stodgy institutions, and that's kind of inherent in how we, you know, okay, we're a hospital, but we want to partner with an elementary school. That's kind of intimidating sometimes for the elementary schools. That's kind of the hospitals don't really know sometimes how to do that, and so there's a reason why I'm sticking with the stodgy, and I'll get more to what some of those challenges were later. So a little overview of the presentation. I'm just going to go through some context, why we're doing this, what the programs are, the strengths of the partnerships, the challenges, and moving forward. And in terms of charts and graphs, I also don't have any charts and graphs. This is, I'm giving you, we're in progress with different kinds of data collection, but we haven't finally done any final analysis and final packaging, but you'll see where we're at in the process. So a little context. About 4 years ago, Cedars-Sinai kind of reinvented the way we do what we call community health initiatives, which I'll explain. And we had a lot of different focus areas, and we were trying to put a lot of different balls in the air programmatically, and we decided, wait a second, this is too many different directions we're going, and we can't really seem to get anything done. So we brought in a consultant and really began to focus our areas of community health. And so, as you can see, our strategic focus is to seek to reduce the risks and impacts of obesity and inactivity and their associated medical problems in communities of need. And then, to further explain what community health initiatives are, I wanted to give you how we describe them as a comprehensive multi-layered programs. And I describe them as programs with personality. So I don't want to knock another set of very traditional community health activities, which our community hospital does as well as Cedars-Sinai, and most community hospitals do, which is a set of activities that are like health screenings in the community, health education lectures in the community, providing health services through health fairs in the community, often providing specialty services for programs that are underfunded in the community. Those are all very, very important activities, which my hospital does as well. Community health initiatives, that's just what we call them, are a little bit different, and they have these characteristics. We have a targeted geographic community. We have programs that have kind of multiple audiences with multiple layers of different kinds of programming. The programs grow as the partnerships grow. We really listen to our community, and like I said, we meet the needs of the community as they're expressed. And there's more dynamism in the program, and I'll get more to all the community health initiatives right here. So a little bit more about how it all works together. We are working, the target geography is 5 miles within the medical center, but we have targeted even more than that. And let me explain. Los Angeles is a very diverse community. If where Cedars-Sinai sits, if you go 5 miles west, you're in Beverly Hills. But if you go 5 miles east, or 5 miles northeast, or 5 miles southeast, or 5 miles south, you're not in Beverly Hills. You're in communities of need. And so based on this idea of having a really targeted geographic area, our schools where our programs are 5 miles southeast of the medical center. It's in mid-city Los Angeles. A little bit more, this is just a very kind of little itty-bitty bit of data. I could speak for an hour about the need for obesity prevention activities and interventions and education and all sorts of different kinds of programmatic activities. But just to set the stage, 75% of the families, I'm jumping to the third, and then I'll get back. 25% of the adults in District 10, which is where we're at, that's a city council district, 25% of the adults are overweight or obese, and nearly 30% of the children are overweight or obese. The report that came out of the LA County Department of Health report that was just last September also correlated mortality rates of stroke and stroke and cardiovascular disease with the overweight and obesity statistics. And that's just a small piece. And I tell you that small piece of data, as well as, you know, as I said, I could do another whole presentation on the data to say that hospitals really do look at data. Hospitals are not pulling programs out of hats, particularly community and nonprofit hospitals. We do a needs assessment every 3 years, and the programs are planned based on the needs of the community, strengths of the hospital, alignment with different kinds of hospital goals. There's all sorts of things that interact for hospitals to move forward. But so you know the criteria of our programs, back to the second bullet. Our criteria is at least 75% of the students in our school are eligible for free reduced lunch. In actuality, that's the low criteria. Our average is about 88% of the students are eligible for free reduced lunch. About 50% of the students are English language learners. And the programs are, like I said, we kind of, as the needs are expressed, we can develop, we can change, and they're really based on overlapping partnerships. That's where the geographic focus comes in. So in order to implement our programs, we get our hands on as many of these people as we possibly can and as often as we possibly can. A little bit about the program. So community health initiatives is the community health term for it, but the more catchy term is healthy habits, and that's what we call it. And healthy habits for kids, there are different audiences. Healthy habits for kids is really our cornerstone program where we get to reach the most people. In our current school year, we are in 12 elementary schools. So currently, so just as a little bit, we started in 2005 in one school. We're now in 12 schools. The last school year, we were in 8 schools. So we're growing. 12 elementary schools, that means that every second grader in those 12 elementary schools gets a 10 sessions of healthy habits for kids taught by a Cedars-Sinai community health educator. And the lesson is about 45 to 60 minutes, depending on what the teacher will give us. And so that is about 50, that's about 50 classrooms. And so there also, as a curriculum for third and fourth graders, we call those refresher courses. And we only do those in schools that we've already done the whole second grade so that the next year they continue. The curriculum includes teacher activities and includes parent interactions. The kids are sent home, pieces that get signed by their parents, and there are student and teacher incentives. And just so you know, for some numbers, what this means, that's the 12. But last year, what 8 schools meant was 6,300 second graders got 10 units. And 1,100 third graders got the 5 units of the refresher courses. So we are reaching a lot of kids, and we're reaching them multiple times. So it's a fairly intense program. And the program is basic, but it's fun and interactive. It's what are the food groups, what do the vitamins mean, how do they help your body, let's do some physical activity. There are taste tests. They're tasting cucumber salad, they're tasting dried fruit, they're tasting, there are all sorts of things, and there's information that goes home with them. Middle school, this is no longer in pilot phase for the first time, and we're in a charter school that whose outreach is to our target geographic area. And the idea, and this is also, now they're taking an elective. There are 25 kids that take an elective. It's, I think, a trimester system. So there will be 3 groups of 25 kids. And they will go through 10 weeks, and they have it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the elective. And it's a lecture, a discussion, and a project on every single week. And really, their focus is on critical thinking. It's completely different than the elementary school program because it's critical thinking, the environment around you. They use art. They look at media literacy. They're discussing product placement in ways that they've never thought of before. They're looking at their environment. They're creating a video for the My Plate video project where there's a contest going on, and they're creating a hip hop called the Fruits and Veggies Swag coming to YouTube near you soon. Very exciting. They're pretty excited about it. And these are also, we do summer camps where the free summer camps are offered on the school campuses. They kind of condense the populations into a couple of campuses, and we do some after school programs too, and we do different curricula for that. This is a field trip that the middle schoolers took where they did kind of an Iron Chef activity, and they were very, very excited. And one of the so we sponsored this and coordinated this with the food service, the people who provide food services to the charter school. And one of the girls wants to be a chef, so she said, this is the best day of my life. That was very exciting for her. And now I'm... Wait, something happened here. Ah, so here's some photos. Unless I... Healthy Habits for Families. Sorry about that. Healthy Habits for Families. So for families, that was kids, this is families. Of our 12 schools, we are fully in 6 schools doing adult education. And it's also a 10-unit program. It mirrors the Healthy Habits for Kids. It's and for the additional schools, we do additional workshops. It's just a staffing, how much staffing we have. The Healthy Habits for Families is led peer style. What they do is they talk about their barriers and how to solve them. And pretty much all taught in Spanish. And really, this is kind of where, this is where a lot of that problem solving happens. So they really, these women who want to make changes are thoughtful about it, and they, it's an uphill battle because they have to talk about how they're going to change their kids' behavior, their teenagers' behavior, their husband's behavior, how they're going to change the way that their whole family eats, and that's not an easy thing. And it's a very exciting piece of the program and a very exciting piece of the puzzle in terms of the work that we do with parents. And they're very excited, and they have stories to tell and stories to tell. And that's kind of what we're working to capture, is what those stories are and what those stories mean. So when you have people who both have never written a newsletter before, and these are all, like I said, these are all women. These are women who have immigrated to this country and say, okay, you know what, you guys, you do a newsletter for your school. And they write newsletters and they give it to the community health education staff from Cedars-Sinai, who just basically translates it into a publisher so that they can, a little publisher piece. And the women are so excited that they take it and they frame it and they put it on their walls because they have a byline that says that they've interviewed this teacher. And these are all ways that parents and administrators can connect in ways that they couldn't before. Got it. Moving forward. We do a preschool program. We do a grocery store tour program. I'm going to show you some photos. This is the preschool program. We have in 9 preschool sites, we have big posters that are in English and Spanish, and they rotate, and we do workshops, and they're placed in areas. They're very big. They're not posters. They're boards, and they're very big, and they allow parents to really interact with kids on the information on them. This is, and this for teachers and administrators, we provide all sorts of resource binders and classroom tools and teacher incentives. And 2 of the schools have now allowed us to do a 4-unit training curriculum with their teachers. This is huge when it comes to the public schools. They're actually giving us 4 hours of teacher time to talk about teacher well-being, not just about how to be for the kids' well-being, but to reward the teachers and how the teachers should take care of themselves, and how the teachers and the can create healthy classrooms, and what LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District, expects of them, because LAUSD expects a lot of the schools, and for the most part, the schools aren't paying that much attention to because LAUSD expects a lot for them for other things as well, not just health. These are kind of on a down and dirty survey for the last school year. These were the results. They're very promising, just by the numbers that the parents of the second graders responded with. But we've engaged an evaluator, and this is what we're looking at for the coming year. So the evaluator has spent the whole summer looking at the programs, visiting the programs for the summer, talking to the staff, and the challenge here, so you can see, we're going to be creating tools for all of these things that fall under the blue boxes. There's a couple of very big challenges. One is we don't want to just measure, the second graders, and we don't want to just measure the parents, because the intensity of the program and the success of the program is dependent on how all of these pieces interact. And there's a lot of moving pieces. That's a challenge. The other challenge is that second graders are a hard population to collect data for. So we're going to create a series of different kinds of tools that have to do with questions that the health educator can ask, that have to do with focus groups with the parents, lots of different kind of moving pieces, and that also really have to take a look at the empowering stakeholders and building community capacity. Because some of the programs we do bring the community together. We've got different schools, they're clustered together, and they're resources to each other. I wanted to say one more thing about evaluation, but I can't remember what it is, so we'll skip it for now. Utilizing hospital strengths. These are our strengths. I encourage people to look at their hospitals differently than they've looked at them before, because that is a challenge. For us to go into our schools and say, hi, we're Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, what can we do for you? They look at us blankly. They don't. So even though we want to say, you tell us, they also ask us to say, well what can you do exactly? Because they're not so sure. But this is what we draw on. We're a nonprofit hospital. We're mission-driven. Striving to improve the health of the community is one of our four legs of our mission. To save time, I won't give you the other legs of our mission. We have a commitment to community service, and we have a very strong reputation in the community. It is to schools' advantage to say we are partnered with Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. And we also do a needs assessment every 3 years. This is valuable data. We have a number of community benefit commitments. All of these things are to the community's advantage to say, look, this is an organization that is a resource to us, even though it doesn't seem like a match. The internal departments that we use regularly, all of our curricula are reviewed by our food and nutrition department. We use our communications and marketing to tell the story of what we're doing in the community. We report in the community relations and development department, which helps in forward thinking about leveraging what we do to grow, to be bigger with other philanthropic and foundations, and we use our physicians as advisors. Our challenges is that we don't see ourselves as providing services in the community. We don't want to be seen as someone who, okay, here we are, we're a health education program, we go, and we're leaving, goodbye. And that's often how the schools see ourselves. They see us. They see us as someone who's, like, doing something for them. But really what we're looking at is we're looking at wanting schools to meet us halfway. We want to help them build an entire healthy environment in their school. But there are issues. Whole school commitments, they're not used to that kind of thing. There are politics in the school. There are politics in the school. Principals have to keep parents happy and teachers happy and community resources happy. And measurement, as I said, is a challenge. And how they can build. If we're coming in and do a program for the school to be able to say and us to help them think about, well, what other community resources would add to the strategic direction that we're working on together. Those are big concepts that the schools that we work with are not used to doing. Our successes are these. This is what we are sure our program is the successes so far are based on, and we're excited to learn what the data will show us at the end of the year, but you can look at these. But we really think that the intensity and the reach and our commitment and the staff is fantastic. And our next steps. We need the data. We need the data so we can tell the story of the programs, and we need to be able to find a venue to tell the amazing stories that our parents tell about what their experience is with Cedars-Sinai and with each of the sub-programs that we do, the programs for kids, the program for parents, the programs in the grocery store, the programs in the community. So we need to be able to take all of those things that are listed there and combine them so that we can really kind of say this is working and this is a model and this is, and even create roadmaps for other people to do these models. Okay, any questions?
I'm wondering how you got parents to show up. Maybe it's different at middle school level, but usually it's very difficult to get parents.
So, it's interesting. We work through the parent centers in the elementary schools. That's one way to do it. I don't know that the parent centers are always the most effective ways to advertise. I personally think that the reason that it's so successful, and we have about 20 parents for every workshop that we do, is that the health educator is a particularly strong health educator, and because she teaches more in a promotora fashion than she does in a health educator and education fashion, and they come back for her. That's my opinion. That's my sense.
Well, it sounds like they're getting some leadership development, too.
And that's one of the things. You know, it's interesting. What I don't have, when that motto was made of the this, empowering stakeholders, see what we're measuring there, just before I left for the conference, I sent the evaluator an email saying, you know what, what's not on that list, even though I had already uploaded it here, what's not on that list is measuring leadership, and I think that we need to add that. So that's going to be added to what we measure when we do, when we do the evaluation plan, that exact thing.
Yeah, there's a project out of Chicago where they have some funding to really involve parents in the school setting around these healthy lifestyles and healthy choices, and they basically said, would you like to have more information about how to be a leader? Did you know you can be a leader? Do you want to be one? And they came. So.
Yeah, and I mean, if I had more time, I'd certainly tell you more about the kind of leadership things that they're doing, which is really, you know, they're doing some advocacy work, and they're getting results. They at one point, the Jack in the Box was giving free soda with the breakfast burrito. The Jack in the Box right in between the elementary school and the middle school that are like kitty corner to each other, and the parents were upset. And as part of this, they wrote letters, and the Jack in the Box, for a time stopped giving the free soda with the breakfast burrito. So things like that. Those are leadership. Those are definitely leadership development pieces.
Several questions for you. Does your institution provide dollars to your unit to do this?
Yes. So the Community Health Initiatives exists as part of Cedars-Sinai's community benefit efforts, targeted community benefit efforts. That's what nonprofit hospitals, many of them are working towards doing more of. There's a whole subset of activities that happens in hospitals that's under nonprofit hospitals that's under community benefit, and that's where we fall, but we would like to grow more. In order to do that, we would leverage with other organizations that would be able to provide larger amounts of funding.
So you mentioned that your health educators are going into the classroom to teach some of these units. How big is that staff?
I have 5 health educators.
And do you have to incentivize parents to come to your session?
So there are little incentives. Sometimes there are raffles. You know, get a $25 get if you come to 10 sessions. There's be a raffle for $25 gift card to Target. So every now and then, you know, we kind of gauge, and we have a whole bunch of things in our back pocket, just to kind of keep it moving and keep it exciting. Not many major incentives, but you know, little ones here and there.
Can I hold that to the end just to make sure we give the other speakers ample time? And I'm sure she would be more than happy to chat with you afterwards if some of you have a similar sort of situation or interest. Thank you.